Old school, here we go.
Blog Talk Radio.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself.
My name is Dr. Drake.
Yeah.
Sir Robert Fortune.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
I'm here.
Sir.
Yes, sir.
You gonna make it do what it do, baby.
Let's go. Gonna have to slap JQ like Michigan, man, you know, if he keeps sliding in the tag like that, man. So it's all good, man.
Hey, man, listen, I'm here.
I'm totally messing with you, man. We all know that
you
that
put
JQ
him in the same
deck
with
Juan Howard.
He's going to be on time every week.
Actually, I'll be on time late. I'll be late just to do that, just for shits and giggles.
Yeah. We know that JQ was a wish or something to the Wisconsin guy that made you know Juwan Howard slap him, man. So we're not going to talk about that too, man. But that's just the word on the street, man. So
he was talking to him.
JQ probably decided that whole
man,
thing, man.
When I got that alert, I was going to the hockey game, and I got that alert. And I saw the BD show like in the first period. I said, "Oh no, Juwan, you can't do that." Sitting right here slapping people on the handshake line. What's wrong with you?
He was like, and then he said, and Robert, we used to say,
you know, I thought he needed to call him a name or something, but he said he got mad because he called a timeout. I'm like, no, Juwan, you can't do that.
Call a timeout, you can't do that. Back.
He was like, what did the prosecutor say to the face? What? Bring it back. Remember, Rob, we used to always quote that. We used to quote that, Rob. Pain is a hell of a drug. Remember, we used to say that in all of our shows.
Yeah,
go ahead. Oh, goodness gracious. Oh, we're having some
but
fun.
But I think they did the right thing, though. I didn't think the man deserved to lose his job, but I think the suspension of 5 games was fitting. And,
yeah.
You know, they had all these prognosticators come on TV, need to be fired and lose his job. No, I was never, you know, I know JQ may feel otherwise because of Michigan, but I thought it was handled the right way. A suspension of about 5 games,
I think
was appropriate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's about right. You got to show someone that's got passion for the program, man. But that was like a little bit crazy, man.
That was hilarious.
Yeah. Plus, they got the ass kicked, so he's probably double frustrated. So
yeah. Anything could have set him off too. So, like you said, they're not performing. This everything didn't go as well. But we're gonna get this party started. We're waiting for JQ to get settled. Shout out to Gary and Curtis. I know we always want to give a shout out to our West Coast members. We know that Curtis is always fighting. So again, we always keep him in our thoughts and our prayers. So just make sure that he's good and family and whatnot. And then a shout out to Gary, because I know he's got some challenges with some home stuff too. So Gary, we hope that you are doing okay. We hope that insurance pays for, like you said, more than enough for that, and that you guys are staying comfortable and you guys aren't too displaced with that too. So just a little shout out that our brothers from the West Coast are always doing some things too. So we'll keep it going as always. So without further ado, I do want to check in with fellows before we give a quick shout out to the show, notes, and all that fun stuff, too. So, Mr. JQ, we're not going to say that he is a habitual line stepper this time, but JQ, how you feeling? And I want to make sure that you were not anywhere near that bench at the Michigan-Wisconsin game. So, go ahead, JQ. How you feeling, bro?
Hey, man, like I said, man, I am feeling good. I'm in better spirits this week. I've got another week to shake off that loss. But, yeah, man, I was working the game, and all I saw was, you know, Michigan-Wisconsin fight. And I saw that video. I said, come on, Juwan. You just can't be flying people in the handshake line. But, of course, you know, that tickled me because I hate all things Michigan. I respect Juwan Howard and the Fab Five, though, because they changed the game. But that dude there, the pressure is getting to Juwan, man. That's all I can come up with. He just can't be flying people in the handshake line. Listen, I agree he shouldn't be fired. I thought he might have gotten the suspension through – the conference championships. If they made the tournament, they were running back. So it's about right. I thought that, you know, it might be a little bit more. Plus, you know, as a black dude in America, you just can't be sliding people like that. I was scared for him just as a black dude in terms of losing his job, but I don't think he should have lost his job. He lost his cool. If Bobby Knight can throw chairs and keep his job, then you can slap somebody and keep yours. So it's all good. But that was pure comedy. That was unprepared for on the Sunday.
I don't know, JK. You can't be slapping folks, but go ahead. Go ahead, Rob.
Yeah, that was my same thought process. You know, what would it have done if it was a white dude, right? They wouldn't have fired a white dude. You just brought up a good point about Bob Knight throwing chairs, getting the referee's face and slamming stuff. And he threw chairs not once, not twice, but from my count, at least three times as a head coach. And he still was able to keep his job. I think it's,
right.
Chuck, I don't even remember Bob Knight getting suspended for too many chairs he threw.
He
did. Next game. Yeah.
He didn't.
So,
didn't.
You know, so obviously, I think it was appropriate, but definitely he didn't deserve to lose his job, no doubt about it. And part
now,
of it, you know, they got the ass kicked in that game, but there's still no excuse. Wisconsin beat him with four white dudes and one brother on the team.
He was mad. He was double mad. He was triple mad because of that, too. Like, come on, man.
Yeah. And so, I mean, that probably led to the frustration, but he's got to be able to keep his cool and have good sportsmanship on that.
Yeah.
Not losing his job.
I'm from Indiana, as you guys know, and there's a rumor about Bob Knight. It's pretty bad, man. He basically went to the bathroom and said, "You guys are playing like this," and that's how bad that dude was just able to get away with stuff, man. Too. So it's just that dude is able to get away with some stuff that it's unheard of, man. So if that dude is still now, you know, yeah, Juwan Howard should be fine. So
Juwan pulled up that Cedric and Tammy. He said, "We live by a different creed, though. We don't wish by. We live by. I wish would."
I got a gold plate, Tim, that said, "I wish you would." What was that? A little LL Cool J.
Yes, sir.
Oh, good
now,
stuff.
Now, we live by hope. Well, we live by the different credo. We live by the wish credo.
Oh, man. We are going to – I don't even know how to, like, come off of that. Let's at least give some show shout-outs and where we are and how to find us and all that good stuff as always. So really quickly, if you want to call on the show, tell us your thoughts. The number is always the same number, 424-243-9519. Follow us on Twitter, which is our handle is @12, THMAN Sports. And last but not least, we are on Facebook. You go to facebook.com/talkingsports12thman, or if you type out 12th Man Sports, you will find us as well. Rob has posted another mock draft, so we'll dive into that as well. So we have a lot of things to discuss, if you will. First and foremost, let's give a quick recap of the All-Star game. And this is, me and you, JQ, will let Rob obviously give a thought, too. So, JQ, I'll give the floor to you kind of get started as well. So let's recap that.
Yeah, no, I mean, it was exciting. It was hilarious because they booed the Curry and Draymond the whole time. And, everybody was like, well, the Browns going to try to go get this key. You know, he's back to Cleveland, yada, yada. And Steph was like, yeah, that's not happening. What did he hit? 16 three-pointers? In that game, that was amazing.
Insane.
You know what I mean?
Insane.
Like, and he just, I mean, he had a couple of attempts to
get
the all-time score record in the All-Star game. He ended up with 50, too short of Anthony Davis's 52. But, I mean, that was ridiculous. And both those dudes born in the same hospital in Akron, right? Like, I don't know what's going on in the water up there, but I need some of it if they're going to act up like that. So, I mean, it starts with Steph Curry. Right, and B had a good game as well. So did Giannis. LeBron quietly had a good game as well. But Steph Curry just put on an absolute show. It was all about him. If you're not coming out of that game talking about Steph Curry, I don't know what game he was watching.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot. I mean, obviously, I know Rob could probably too, but it was kind of cool to see, like, the 75th anniversary to see all the players kind of going back to shout out to, that. They're saying they were inspiring, if you will. That was pretty cool. And then, they were still talking junk. I still see Jordan talking junk. Gary Payton still looked like he's talking junk. Charles Barkley.
Oh, yeah.
It was just great to see that, too. But the game, itself, it was just like I said, it was a clinic for Steph Curry. You know, LeBron hits the last shot. You know, it's kind of like it had to be that. He's in Cleveland. You know, little things like that as well, too, man. So it's just kind of like set up to be like that. Obviously, it's a fadeaway and talks about how he gives his shout out to Michael Jordan, too. But all in all, I mean, I'm kind of torn because obviously I like seeing the stars, but there is something missing, you know, as far as playing like the old school of playing defense and just having an actual game, you know. So that's the one thing I kind of like kind of miss as far, you know, as far as, you know, seeing just, you know, folks just throwing up stuff and, you know, Ja Morant doing his thing. And it's just, I do want to see a game as well. So I know, I don't know if we're ever going to get back to those, you know, times as well, but just, you know, it is what it is.
They play defense at the end.
Yeah, full quarter.
They play some defense at the end.
Full quarter, they set it up. They want to play. Yeah. In the full quarter, you sort of see them playing defense, though. They wanted to win that game. But, I thought, other than the slam dunk contest, which was absolutely atrocious. Oh, man, it's got to be one of the worst ever. I mean, that was, other than the slam dunk contest, I thought overall of the weekend itself was pretty entertaining. Even a 3-point shootout, and you could see a guy like Big Cat Williams. I thought the skills competition was kind of entertaining as well and different. And even the game itself, I mean, it's just the entertainment behind it. I mean, Steph Curry shooting the ball from half court. I mean, just they're just out there just having fun, right? And Steph Curry shooting the ball and then turning around and running down out of the end of the court. Not even paying
attention. Did he go in?
Yeah.
He just threw it in his wife while he ran away. You're like, what the hell is this dude?
it was entertaining. You know, I know, like, you know, all-star games. But in the end, you at least started seeing them being competitive on the defensive end. You started to see LeBron's team put Jared Allen in the game at the end of the game to get some defensive presence in there and try to contest. He contested Embiid on a few shots, you know, down the stretch too. You saw Giannis and LeBron get a block and a steal down the stretch too. So they started playing a little defense toward the end of the game to pull it out. But yeah, but as you all mentioned, Steph Curry and the 3-point shot was just insane the way he was just throwing. I mean, he would shoot the ball up from half court just for the fun of it in the game. It was just it was really, like you mentioned, Ja Morant too. But this, seeing all the 75 greatest All Stars, that was pretty cool. That was a pretty nice feature that the NBA put on. Then seeing the behind the scenes stuff with Michael Jordan challenged Magic Johnson to a game of 1-on-1, call him an old dog.
Mm-hmm.
Talking trash, seeing the old dude come out there. I thought it was a pretty cool event what they put together. You know, I was watching today. They had some really interesting conversations about the 75 greatest players. You know, who would you rather have on your team, Dwayne Wade or Allen Iverson? Are there other conversations? You know, who should be ranked higher out of Isaiah Thomas, Charles Barkley, and Karl Malone? Who do you start your team off with, Isaiah Thomas or Chris Paul? They had some interesting conversations on there today.
But you know what? The pettiness in me also enjoyed the foolishness. Like you saw when Ray Allen got introduced. And he dapped up, I forget who he dapped up right past Kevin Garnett. And Kevin Garnett just looked up to the air and started screaming because Ray Allen didn't acknowledge him. And then Michael Jordan walked in and dapped up everybody. And, you know, Charles Barkley was sitting back there and he just took a hard right over to the side. I was like, man, these are some petty mofos. Like, y'all are just
coming to the side. They still keep grudges, bro. What? Yeah,
it seemed like Shaq was on beyond a lot of that stuff, huh?
Yeah, it's wild, though. They're all still holding on to it, and you catch it in real time, and you're like, these dudes don't like each other. Like, I mean, years upon years later, they are still holding on to that. That is wild.
Yeah. And
bro,
the guys there are totally different as playing in the league.
The Pistons,
yeah.
though.
I mean,
bro,
I just
bad boys, man. You know that, you know, Jordan, they weren't trying to like literally just like, you know, they wanted to hurt that dude. And mentally, like, you know that every time you're going to go in the lane, you're going to get that's a whole other mental toughness. I mean, and that's why I'm tripping out. Like nowadays folks like dapping, hey, good game, you know, bro, they weren't, He's like, even your boy, who said that? So didn't you like a real fight? You know, they had any real fights in a minute. It was that Jimmy Butler.
Right.
Did he have like a real fight, man?
Yeah, they don't fight for real.
Don't like that no more, you know? It's like, you know, but you knew that it was like some serious, like back in the day, back at NBA, like hand checking, man. What is that? You know, you know how you get called for like light.
But you see Michael Jordan go up and tackle Luka and give him a big old hug, and he won't even acknowledge Charles Barkley. And that was his homeboy, like, for many years. And then it fell out like it's over. And you're just like, God, these dudes are really on one with each other right now. They just are not having it at all. Like, you feel like at this stage, you can come in and squash that and have a nice moment, right, where you'd be like, okay, it's over. They're like, nah, I still don't like this dude forever. I'm still on it. That's like,
no Charles Barkley, no Scottie Pippen. No Isaiah Thomas, but he went over to hug Dennis Rodman, Michael Jordan.
Sorry, it's not letting me connect.
Go and greet Isaiah. We're not going to greet Barkley. We're not going and greet Scottie Pippen.
Nuts.
Jordan will hold on to his grudges. Isaiah made up some years ago.
Right. Like, I figured this would be the great time to bury hatches for everybody and just move forward. It was like, no, we're not doing it. Like, well, okay.
Again, I can kind of understand the I can understand the Pistons and Bulls. But like I said, I know, like, that's kind of like one of those, you know, eventually you got to let that go. But it's
that's so 30 years ago. 30. Like, that's a whole grown kid. Like, a grown kid entering into the best part of their life, and they still hold on to that. It's 30 years ago, bro. That's insane.
Yeah. Damn, man. They just like, Mark, psychologically, you ain't getting me, bro. You ain't going to get me, man. So I let my guard down. I'm about to get sucker punch or something, man. He was no. Oh, man. Good stuff, Rob. But like I said, there's a lot of great names. This stuff, I'm an AI fan, man. So that's tough between, you know, those conversations, too. You know, AI.
I would have to go Dwayne Wade over AI, though.
But that dude was just like a game changer, man. I just, man, he had so much heart, tangibles. And then
I
still think Tim Duncan is still one of the greatest, man.
Me, too. But if you give AI Shaq, are, you know, LeBron and Chris Bosh,
it's killing it.
Just the size and athleticism of a Wade. You got to, you know, and like I said, just like you are, I was an AI fan. I was an AI fan of Georgetown. I got his AI Sixers jersey. But,
me too.
You know, if you're being realistic from a general manager standpoint, you know, you got to go with Wade's athleticism.
This guy was a general manager.
Yeah, I was gonna go with size, but man, I don't know, man. He didn't have this college Dwayne Wade
he
had around
him. Though, bro, that's the thing.
What are you talking about, man?
Like,
he had the Kimbe Mutombo.
Stop it. He had Shaq.
He had Shaq.
He had Shaq,
prime,
and then he also had LeBron, Chris Bosh, and Ray Allen. Like, I mean, he had a squad. So I'm like, I'm not taking that away from Dwayne Wade, but if you replace him with Allen Iverson, I think they still win all those same championships. That's just me.
I agree. No question. Because AI was lighting up folks before. I mean, that dude, I mean, he single-handedly took, you know, I mean, obviously, you know, Philadelphia, but, man, that dude was just like, they carried him, man. He carried him.
An average Philadelphia team. They played good defense now, don't get me wrong.
Right.
But in terms of scoring probably, they got nothing on these other teams. Like, he took a really great defensive team, but not a great offensive team to the finals. And stepped over Tyronn Lue and stole the game. Like,
Larry Hughes was your
guard,
man. Eric Snow.
Eric Snow and George Lynch is the starting
that
line.
George Lynch was starting.
Yeah.
I like North Carolina. Yeah. Don't get me wrong.
Carolina,
but George Lynch, they started for no other championship team.
Oh,
George
Lynch
was starting a small
forward. LeBron and Boobie Biles, but, you know, whatever. But I'm
just
saying. I got you. Good stuff, man. I'm glad we reminisced. Is that Curtis that joined on the call?
No, that's Gary. I'm on for just a few minutes.
Gary! Gary! Hey, what's up, bro?
How you doing, man?
I'm homeless.
You're
homeless? What would you say? Is that what you said?
I said I'm homeless.
Oh,
please don't be homeless, man. We gave you a nice shout-out, man. You and
See?
Curtis, by the way, too, man. So, yeah.
All right.
He calls from the bathroom for the four seasons.
No. I'm at an embassy suite.
Have my feet up. How about embassy suite? Oh, that was
Oh, man. You know you
okay,
had a four seasons. Trying to be humble on this game.
Mm-hmm. He called like he was at the tribal lodge.
No, Gary, how long are you going to be on? Is this a quick call-in, or you want to share your thoughts, or what's going on? We're doing a recap.
No, it's just a quick call-in to say – quick call in to see how you guys are doing without Curtis and I, and what I heard, you guys need our help.
We sure
oh,
do.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, good stuff, man. Balance us out for sure. Balance us out. I love it.
No. Just a quick shout out to you guys. You know, appreciate you. And Curtis and I will be on next week. And, you know, thanks for letting me slow the show down a little bit as usual.
No, it's all good.
No, bro.
Appreciate you. Appreciate your insight.
All right.
Sure. Good.
I'll keep you guys posted. Hey, it could be, two and a half months, maybe 3 months before
man.
We get back in the house. Yeah.
Wow, man, that's awful.
Yeah.
You got that RV.
We might move to the RV, but right now we're not. You know, right now we're
okay.
We're at a hotel and
no.
You know that sort of thing. You know.
Yeah, absolutely.
I was a mom and a wife.
I got to get. The reason why I called in is because I had to go down and get some change for the vibrating bed.
Hey.
Anyway, I'll give you guys a call later.
Oh man, that's in a
good
bunch
show.
Of
good
cool.
show tonight
over there, man. Nah, be good, bro.
All right.
Oh,
yeah.
Man.
Bye,
Gary. Be safe, bro. Much love, man.
He said he had to go get a clock bar.
Oh
man.
My goodness gracious. Oh, I love it. Oh, let's keep it going, man. We've clearly gone off the rails, but again, we're having fun, man, for sure. So I guess we could talk about a couple things here. I don't know if you want to kind of briefly talk about Goran Dragic signing with the Nets, you know, how that dynamic looks again. The Nets have been making a lot of moves, if you will. Obviously, we talked about the move, if you will, acquiring Ben Simmons and then now trading off James Harden. You know, is Gordon's going to play whenever Kyrie can't play? And then, you know, again, shout out to you, JQ. We can talk about how the Lakers look right now with AD, too. So we got a couple things to discuss. So, Rob, I don't know if you want to attack the Dragic signing, if you will, kind of go into that sphere.
Yeah, it's a solid move. Obviously, the Lakers and the Bucks will also continue for his services, too. And he picked the Nets. You know, even with some of their, you know, uncertainty that's going on with, you know, Durant being hurt, we don't know when Simmons is coming back. Kyrie Irving is still, what did Charles Barkley name him?
Half man, half a season.
Yeah.
That was pretty funny.
So even with all that uncertainty going on, to me, the safest move for Goran would have been to go to Milwaukee, right? You know, just because even as all the talent that the Nets have, there's still just so much uncertainty with Durant, injury, Simmons, you know, when is he coming back? And as we just talked about, a half man, half a season won't get a shot. The safer move to me on the surface would have been going with Milwaukee. Hey, you'll see what you're going to run back with Giannis, Chris Middleton, Bobby Portis. They got DiVincenzo back, and they got those guards on the perimeter that can knock down the three-point shot. Bobby Portis is having a better season than he did last year. Obviously, Brook Lopez is still out since first game of the season. So that's, you know, that's obviously a concern for the Bucks as well. But to me, that would have been the safest move. But obviously, the Nets was able to come through and pick up the services. And if everybody's healthy with the Nets, obviously, it's still a – ton of talent on that team that could still have championship potential. But the safer move to me would have been going to Milwaukee.
Higher ceiling. Two things. Higher ceiling. If you talk about it, you get KD back and you get Simmons back, you feel like, you know, Milwaukee's solid. Don't get me wrong. But higher ceiling, he's sticking with the Nets. And talk about playing time. You just talked about it. If he goes to Milwaukee, you know, you got true all the everybody you just named. He's going to come in and slide in and try to get his minutes in there behind them. Now, you know, Joe Harris still hurt. Kyrie, if they don't lift the mandate, he can only play, I think it's eight of the last 24 games if the mandate stays in place.
Mm-hmm.
So in that backcourt, he's looking like, I can go to a team with a higher ceiling, and I can make more of a difference because I can play more minutes. So to me, I get why he went to the Nets, right? You look at it and you're like, well, if we get Ben Simmons back and we get Kevin Durant back, but Kyrie's still always going to be iffy depending on how the mandates move. And like, you know, so they said they match up with Toronto, he can't play in that whole series. But Toronto wanted to come down and play. He can't play in Brooklyn. He can't play in the whole series. So if you're Goran, you're like, well, I'm not counting on that. But if chips fall that way in that particular instance, I can play all seven games. But, you know, still moving on in the regular season, he's thinking, I can go somewhere because Goran's back there. You know, Goran has been it's crazy. That dude's nuts. Like, he's talented, but he's nuts. He has an irrational confidence about his game that you kind of have to have when you're trying to get to that level, right? So he's like, if I go to the Nets, I can play way more minutes. I can get a bigger chance to shine, especially in the short term. Like you said, no Simmons, no Kevin Durant. You know, I can go in there and I can spell, you know, Irving when he can't play. And everybody, Goran Dragic is the greatest signing since, you know, sliced bread. So I get why he went to the Nets. Like, I think they're going to make it, at least the playing game. I wouldn't go to the Lakers, and I'm a Lakers fan, but I wouldn't go to the Lakers if I was Goran Dragic. So to me, it makes sense for him to go do that and be able to be deployed as a serious weapon, not just as a, you know, fish warmer or a filler of I'm going to be the 10th or 11th man. He can probably go in there and be the 6th, 7th, 8th man right now with what's going on for these last 24 games. So I get it from his standpoint. It's a solid move for Goran.
Yep, from a playing time perspective, you're absolutely right. He's going to get an opportunity. But I think from a championship perspective, the safer bet would have been Milwaukee.
But you know KD is coming back, and you know you don't trade for Simmons unless you know Simmons is going to play somewhat of a role. So the East is more competitive now, I'll give you that. But if you look at it, nobody wants to play the Nets as a 7 or 8 seed. Yeah. One or two seeds are like, I'd rather be a 3 seed. I don't want to get a KD coming back healthy, and if they lift the mandate, maybe and that you get Kyrie and the Ben Simmons and you get going with that. Nobody wants that as the 1 or 2 seed. Your first round to get that Nets. Nobody wants that. So,
how good is Ben Simmons going to be after being gone all this time, though? And will he be able to make free throws in the playoffs? Are they going to go to hack the Simmons route again down the stretch in the playoffs too? So,
but that's why you got Goran and Kyrie. He ain't got to even touch the ball like that.
Mm-hmm.
You
can
sit
him
down.
You don't even have to have the ball for him to be fouled.
You can sit his ass down and still be competitive. Philadelphia couldn't sit him down and be competitive. The Nets can sit his ass down and be competitive. That's what I'm like. If he gets to that point, they can say sit down to the 2 minutes and then come back.
Mm-hmm.
There was a movie called Boomerang, and there's one lady, she was really attractive, Lila Rochon. She had some hammer time toes. Remember that? That's how the Lakers look right now. You may be pretty, but you got some flaws. That's how it is for the Lakers. That's why Goran Dragic said, no part of that whatsoever.
I don't blame him.
He was like,
Ray, you were way back.
He was like, yo, you like, yo, you got all these people like, I don't know about that. Like, woo! That's what it is, right? She was, you know,
they're not
good,
a destination.
They're not, man.
They're not.
You would think that'd be the case, right? That's kind of sad, right? Because, you know, you would think that'd be like, that's a shoo-in, but nah, you had to think twice about that, you know? So, unheard of. Unheard
but if you really think about it, the Nets have been very successful the last few years when it comes to these buyout players. When you look at Blake Griffin, when you look at even though LaMarcus Aldridge didn't last with them that long, they have been very successful with these buyout players the last few years. I mean, they got an open pocketbook right now. And, you know, it's still New York. And, I mean, they do have some star players. They just haven't been able to gel or get everybody healthy at the same time. They just have not had a lot of things that's worked in their favor. but they've had the success in the buyout market. They've been one of the most successful franchises in the league when it comes to the buyout market, for sure.
And you talk about LaMarcus Aldridge, another person we just didn't mention. Like, the Nets have a higher ceiling. Sure. If they can mess around and get Kevin Durant back with 10 to 12 games left, and hopefully you get Ben Simmons back in that same period and you just let them play and get it moving, mm-hmm. like, nobody wants to see them as the 1 or 2 seed if they come in as a 7 or 8 seed. Like, you just don't want that.
Mm-hmm.
So I get from this standpoint, and yeah, you know, we don't have to berate the Lakers situation. It's terrible. You trade for Russell Westbrook. He's been way worse than you thought he would be. Anthony Davis has been Mr. Glass. And I agree with Stephen A. At some point, when he gets healthy and starts playing, you might have to trade him so you can get 75 cents on the dollar. Like, he got two championships.
Wow.
Okay, what can you get back in return if that's where he is, man? It's sad, but it is what it is. But if I'm going Dragic, I wouldn't go to the Lakers either. They may not even make the playoffs. You're talking about just trying to make the play-in game, let alone being a shoe-in for the playoffs. And you're talking about you feel like the Nets are going to make it more than likely if you get those guys back for, you know, 10, 12 games down the stretch. They can get that 8, 7 feet. I fully believe that. Kevin Durant's a monster. And you know Kevin Durant's keeping himself in shape. He's not James Harden. He's not sitting there eating those Cheetos and kicking it out there in New York. He's ready to come back and play ball.
Yeah.
You know, because he left Golden State to prove that he can go win the championship with his own team. So he's driven to go make that happen.
Yeah.
So I get what he's saying with Goran Dragic makes that decision. Lakers, even if they make the freaking playing game and win it, man, they can't beat the Suns. They can't beat the Warriors in a 7-game series. They can't. They just aren't built for that. They're too old, and they just don't have enough shooting and enough defense to make that happen. That's where they are. So, you know,
can they beat Memphis and Utah? There's a lot. They can't even beat them probably.
There's a whole bunch of teams they can't beat.
That's true. Wow.
Yep.
I agree. I love the Lakers, but I agree. There's a whole bunch of teams they can't beat. They could probably beat Utah. They can't beat Memphis. They're just too young for them. And Phoenix will run them out the gym, and so will Golden State. And that's just the truth of the matter. They might win one game, maybe two, out of that 7-game series. And that's just where they are right now. But the good thing for them is they got a whole bunch of 1-year deals outside of LeBron and AD, and you on an expiring contract with Westbrook. So maybe next year you can trade him. So if somebody looks like, if I trade for him, I have $48 million the following year to play with. But they're stuck, bro. They're done. I hate it, but it's true.
Yeah. Man, they're number 9 in the West right now. And I see the Nets are number 8 in the East, and the Bucks are number 5 in the Eastern Conference. To me, there's still too many question marks with the Lakers. There's still too many question marks, even with the Nets, even with as much talent as they have. Can they get it together? Can they gel in this short time period? I think there's still a huge question mark for the Nets. When you look at those three teams, I still think the Bucks still has the best chance. I'm not saying they don't have. I don't think the Bucks are going back to the finals, but I think out of those three teams, I still think they have the best chance to get to the finals, just because of the chemistry, okay. just because of the team they have. You know, Holiday, Giannis. Middleton. Of the chemistry that they already have and a few pieces that they've added. And but the East is going to be the Bulls, the Heat, the Sixers.
Who are the 1 and 2 seeds in the East right now, Rob? You got it in front of you? Who are the 1 and 2 seeds?
The Miami's 1 and Chicago's 2. They got the same record, but for some reason the Heat has a tiebreaker.
But if the Nets mess around and get to the 7th seed, who takes the Bulls over the Nets in the first round?
If the Nets are healthy and there's no
that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. They get to the 7th seed and play the Bulls. That would be the first time you will see a 7th seed favorite in a series over a 2 seed. And that's part of the reason why I say Gordon Dragic is that decision.
Yeah. But DeMar DeRozan and Zach LaVine.
You ain't putting no money on DeMar DeRozan. I give DeMar DeRozan all the credit. DeMar DeRozan is having a fantastic season.
He's MVP candidate.
Nobody's betting on a DeMar DeRozan-led team to win the playoff game, see Toronto.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Not over healthy Kevin Durant.
That's true. That's true facts, man. Oh, man. But I do agree with you. Definitely, this is time for Gordon.
But I still think
all
the Nets are
going to 100%.
Can the Nets beat the Bulls in the first round? Yes. But can they keep beating these teams in every round? I just think it's going to be too much for them to overcome.
But what you're missing when you say that is you're giving them more time to play together and get healthy in jail as they go through that first round. So I feel like if those dudes stay healthy and they see that and they impact and they beat that 2 seed, now that confidence just goes like this and they're getting healthy and everybody's like, that is the most dangerous seed I have ever seen in my life. That's like I get from Dr. standpoint, but I give you this. It depends on where Ben Simmons is mentally and physically and how healthy is that knee really for Durant. But Durant's already been out, what,
three, four weeks already. So he could be back in.
So he's got to be close.
Yeah, he's got to be close. I just think it's too many questions. Too many question marks, for them to overcome. I mean, the Lakers were a 7 seed last year, and they were a team you didn't want to face because they got LeBron on them, but they still just had too many questions to overcome. And I think you're going to see the same thing with this Nets team. As good as Kevin Durant is, a scary 7 seed, no doubt about it, just like the Lakers were a scary 7 seed last year, too, just because they were defending champs. They had LeBron. They had AD. They didn't even have Westbrook last year. In the Nets, if the Nets have a healthy Kevin Durant alone, regardless of what Ben Simmons is and Kyrie is, you know, they're going to be a scary 7 seed. There's no doubt about it. But I just think they're going to be just a little bit to overcome this late in the season.
But that 2 seed Phoenix last year is a much more dangerous 2 seed to us, I think, than a Bulls team that currently constructed. They're a great story. Don't get me wrong. But if you look at it, I feel like that Phoenix team last year was still ascending. Like, they started with the bubble where they jailed and almost made it. They took it into last year, and they were just a much more dangerous 2 seed than I think the Bulls. So I think you know what it is. I don't mean to mess with you, Andre, and don't take it this way. But it's like when the Hawks won 60-something games and they were a 1-2-3 seed. Nobody feared playing the Hawks in the playoffs. They have 5 All Stars. And all that good stuff. But nobody feared them when it came playoff time, right? I feel like the teams in the East look at the Bulls like they're a nice little niche. They can catch you slipping on the third game or a 4-game road trip where you're playing the back-to-back and they catch you and you're like, damn, maybe I feel like we're not going to game plan for them in the playoffs. I just don't think people are going to fear the Bulls in the playoffs. I just don't. I think I'd rather play the Bulls as a 2 seed right now, even with DeMar DeRozan playing like he's playing, because I've seen what he's done in the playoffs, right? So when he can game plan for him as a 2 seed, I feel like the Nets would be like, we got that.
What if Miami falls to the 2 seed, or Philly moves up to the 2 seed, or Milwaukee moves up to the 2 seed?
Woo, that's a different conversation. I was only talking about the Bulls. They definitely don't want to see Miami as a 2 seed. Because Eric Spoelstra is going to have them boys play defense and they can shoot. They don't want to see the Heat as the 2 seed. That would be the worst matchup that the Nets could get.
He comes back and Duncan Robinson and
Bam
Adebayo. I mean, the fans
want to see the Sixers and the Nets in the playoffs. You better believe it. The fans want to see the Sixers in the playoffs. That would be
the universe wants to see that. That's happening. I believe that's happening. The universe wants to see that. You can't make that trade in your own division and it don't happen. Like, that's got to happen, right? Like, they have to play in the playoffs. When you trade somebody not in the state, in the Eastern Conference, in your own division, has to happen. I'm so looking forward to it.
Hey, right now the Sixers, I had it just pulled up from my phone, locked on. The Sixers are, I think they're number 4. No, the Sixers are number 3 right now, and the Nets are number 8. So it could happen. Yeah.
Could very well happen.
I'm so hurt that we didn't make the trade for Ben Simmons, so we didn't want Tobias Harris's contract. That's what was holding up the whole deal. That's it, man. Come on.
But I tell you what, the Sixers, it's going to take them a while, Harden likes to have the ball in his hands. And the Sixers, you got to run
that
offense through Joel Embiid. You cannot run that offense through James Harden.
Like,
you know, how are they going to mesh together? That's a question mark on there, too. That offense needs to run through Joel Embiid. He needs to be the number 1 option, the number 2, and the number 3, and Harden be number 4, and Tobias number 5.
And James Harden is fat and out of shape. So let's not also act like that's not a real thing. You can't be fat and out of shape and have a hamstring injury. Bro, your hamstring hurts because you're fat. Please do better. So.
Yep. And the Sixers traded one of the best shooters in Curry, the other Curry.
Yep.
You know, he was really shooting the ball well. But the Sixers, I will say, they got some other good young players on that team. Tyrese Maxey is playing outstanding for that team right now. Thibault, one of the first-round picks from a couple of years ago, is doing a phenomenal job on the defensive end. Man, that dude seemed like he get about 3 or 4 steals a game just on the defensive end. He doesn't score that much. And then Korksman, he's shooting the ball really well for him, too. So it's a big if. You know, can they gel? Another team, can they gel in a short amount of time? But they got some good role players on that team. But Harden has got to concede that number one option. Joel Embiid is that number one option, and they need to run that offense.
I tell you what, Philadelphia should hope the Groundhog definitely saw his shadow, so they get 6 more weeks of winter, because they don't need anything to go clubbing at all. They need them to have a full-blown snowstorm and have it be as cold as it possibly be. So James Harden will stay his ass at the house and go to the gym and shoot. If it starts getting warm, I don't know what's going on in Philadelphia, because, hey, he can go out and kick it in Philadelphia. I'm just saying. When it's 2 degrees, he might not do
it. James Harden will find a way. James Harden will find a way, man. I'm just telling you straight up, man. You know
probably
that.
Right.
You know that there's a way. He's going to find a way, bro. COVID be damned. He's going to find
probably
a way.
Right.
As my buddy Roger used to call him, all beard and no brains.
James got some issues. Gentlemen, we got about 20 minutes, and we're going to have a hard stop right at 12. But I do want to get into a couple things here. This is a great time. Rob, you did a fantastic job with the mock draft, and I know you got to talk about the Saints, and they're going to face some crucial issues. But I guess if you're your squad, I mean, you know, what would you think that you need to happen to your squad, if you will, too? We're going to take your mock draft. We're going to kind of obviously go off of that too, little Rob. So we're going to start with you because you put a good job of that. And just kind of say, hey, this is what I think my team, like, this is how I would build my team. You're the GM, if you will, because we have enough time to kind of dive into this. And then, you know, maybe we can talk about the report about the agents kind of boycotting the combine, which is big news, if you will, if that actually goes down. But we can talk about that as we wrap up the show, too. But this is a time for us to kind of, hey, this is what I would do for my squad and your thoughts and stuff like that.
Well, speaking of the combine, I think they kind of reached an agreement, so I don't think it's going to be a boycott. I think the NFL is not going to have the bubble. I think they're going to still have some constraints, but they kind of removed a lot of the restrictions. So it doesn't look like it's going to be a boycott. I think they kind of reached an agreement on that today after I sent out the topic. So I think they're good on that standpoint. You know, we talked about the Saints. I mean, the Saints, are just like last year, they're over the salary cap yet again. And I know they worked their magic. They had to remove like $111 million off the cap. And this year I think they're $76 million over, too. And Mickey Loomis and Kai Harley, they're some extremely good capologists. So they're going to have to work their magic again. But to me, if you're the Saints, and as quiet as the kept, Marcus Williams is their most important free agent. When you talk about one of the best free safeties and center fielders in the game, if you want to know one of the reasons why Tom Brady struggles against the Saints, is because of Marcus Williams. I mean, he has that kind of range as a free safety, and you can rush four men against. You don't have to blitz a lot just because of his coverage ability back there. And then, of course, you know, you got Lattimore able to lock down one side of the field too. So Marcus Williams is the most important free agent for the Saints. And they franchise tagged him last year, and they got to find a way to either franchise tag him again or get him to a long-term deal. So that's going to be huge for the Saints. Tron Armstead, big question mark. When he's healthy, he's one of the best left tackles in the game. Definitely, I think even Pro Football Weekly graded him as the second best left tackle from a pass protecting standpoint. The problem is he's been missing games due to injuries. So, you know, how do the Saints – how do they handle that, right? You know, from a salary cap standpoint, do you take your chances either finding somebody to draft or finding somebody at a lower cost in the free agency? And I think when you look at his age right now, you know, at 30 years old and the way he's been injured a lot, I think if you're the Saints, you probably got to let him walk. And, you know, it's such a hard decision because he's been a pro bowler for the Saints. But I think you got to let him walk. And then obviously the quarterback position for the Saints is going to be huge this year. And, your best bet is going to be to bring back James Winston. I'm sorry. That's going to be your best bet. When you look at it, he brought a different element to the team prior to the injury as far as getting the football down the field, which they wasn't able to do in previous seasons with Drew Brees at the quarterback position. Obviously, the completion percentage factor wasn't a strong thing. He only completed about 60% of the passes. But he had 14 touchdowns on 3 INTs. So when you pick an 18th in a draft, you're not going to have your target quarterback in this draft. So if you're the Saints, you got to go out and sign. You got to go out and sign him. I think Pittsburgh is going to have some interest. In Winston as well. You all can hear me?
Yeah, we got
working out.
Yeah, that sounds better. Yeah, it's going in and out.
Okay.
Yeah, you're good.
All right. All right. I thought you were giving me the signal. But I think I think that's going to be your best bet to re-sign Winston because of the way you're picking in the draft. You're not going to have your pick in the quarterbacks. And you know, depending on what happens in the draft, you may can draft a quarterback. But you got to cover your needs in free agency before the draft. So they're going to have to. I know Pittsburgh's going to have some interest in Winston. There's a rumor that Tampa Bay may be interested in bringing him back. So I think the Saints are going to have to look at bringing him back. Tre'Quan Smith is another free agent. Saints can let him walk. He ain't doing nothing. Quan Alexander is a linebacker that I like to see him bring back, even just for another year or two. You know, he's plays really well against the run as well as the pass. I think he's got some good football left in him. I think out of those key free agents, you let Tre'Quan Smith, you let Teron Armstead, you walk. You have to keep Marcus Williams. He is the guy you have to keep out of all of the free agents. And then, you know, as far as the draft is concerned for the Saints, you're going to have to improve the offensive line. You're going to have to get some weapons on the perimeter. And if you get lucky with a quarterback, you know, that's good, but you're going to have to get younger on the offensive line. You got to get some pro weapons on the perimeter. And to me, that would be my game plan going into the offseason for the Saints.
Yeah, they agree. They got to get Michael Thomas healthy. And I know he's not a burner, but he controls the middle of that field. They call him Mr. Slant, but whatever. That dude is highly productive underneath. So when you have somebody who can take the top off of it, and I think it's you just alluded to, they got to get somebody – and probably in the draft, I think, because you got some really good wide receivers in this first round that you can go hit on to get of that, and then hit the offensive line, which is a really good offensive line draft as well. That defense is solid. I agree with you. You keep the defense together. You use your draft and your free agency money. That's what people walk. You improve on that side of the ball. I just have a hard time banking on Jameis Winston. I really don't understand what they did with the Mormon missile. Like, I just don't understand why you give him that kind of contract. I really don't. He's a gadget gimmick quarterback, and you don't give that quarterback that kind of money. But when you look out there, like, who do you make a trade for or go get? It's tough. It's like when you didn't do it last year in that quarterback class last year, then you come into this one, you're like, nobody really, you're in love with. You try to talk yourself into being in love with somebody. If you're the Saints and a couple other teams, I also think the Redskins are also in that boat. You might have to do a one-year patch with Jameis Winston and see what happens. But if you give Jameis Winston some for real downfield threats, you know, if you get one in the first round and try to get one later on in the fifth or sixth round and then fill in between that with offensive linemen, like, he can get it down the field. Now, he doesn't have Sean Payton anymore, so we'll see if they can keep him under control with, you know, 30 touchdowns, 30 interceptions like he did in Tampa. But he wants to push that ball down the field. And when you have a Michael Thomas control the middle of the field, if you can get people on the outside to threaten that he hit, if you can get him to take that check down to Michael Thomas, who can get open underneath, then you can keep the chains moving. You can play ball control because that defense is still super solid. If you look at what they did, they almost made the playoffs with Trevor Siemian and Taysom Hill at quarterback after James Winston got hurt, where they shouldn't even been even in that situation, if you're being honest, given their quarterback play. So that's a really big kudos to how well that defense plays. To me, I agree with you. Keep that defense
fire.
Together.
Yeah.
You tinker on the offensive side of the ball.
You saw the dude he threw out there at tight end and wide receiver? I mean, it was like Daquan and Andre out there. Man, it was like like the two.
Yeah, it was bad. And they were what? It was San Francisco came back what from a 17-point deficit against the Rams. You know, like that was they were that close to making the playoffs with Trevor Siemian, you know, and Taysom Hill at quarterback. So that's a testament to that defense. So keep the defense together, retool the offense, run it back.
And, you know, I think a lot of people forget, too, before Jameis Winston got hurt, the Saints were 5-2. And, the Saints were 5-8. I think he had 14 touchdowns and only three INTs before he got into the season. His completion, the only thing, his completion percentage still could have been better. But other than that, there's just the element of getting the ball down the field. I mean, we had several 60 and 70-yard touchdown passes out of that 14 touchdowns. Traquan Smith, no name wide receiver.
No Michael
Marcus
Thomas.
Callaway.
Yeah.
No. Yeah.
You
hear
Michael Thomas
football
underneath.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, and I agree. Are we fully confident in Jameis Winston yet? But I still think he may be our best case scenario based on where we pick in the draft. And I think if Winston is going to have some out, I mean, Pittsburgh, I think, is going to be calling him. Tampa Bay may be calling him because
crazy.
Of Tom Brady right now. So he's going to have some options out there, Jameis Winston. So I think it's in Saints' best. I think the Saints' backup plan is going to be to bring Teddy Bridgewater back to kind of bridge the gap. But I still think they will prefer Winston because Winston just has the arm talent. Man, he can just get the ball downfield. And
he always wants to fuck over Tampa Bay. Never let that leave your mindset. He wants to give it to Tampa Bay every chance he gets. He might not say it out loud, but I agree that he wants to be in New Orleans to play Tampa Bay twice a year without Tom Brady to say, oh, you're going to let me lose for a dude for 1 year? Okay. I want to haunt your nightmares. I believe he's like that.
I agree with that. Yeah, dude, that dude, he talk about 30-year grudges. He got a grudge too. Straight up, Jake. You talk about your Bengals, man. We got like 8 minutes here.
Well, it's simple. Yeah, to me, we've all seen the memes about Eli Apple. I mean, I'm trying to shut my phone off so I can stop getting them, but I know what's gonna happen. But you know, if you're the Bengals, like it's you're fine. You're not the only one. If you're the Bengals, honestly, you got three areas: offensive line.
Mm-hmm.
I think the inside of the line
quarterback.
Is the Rams with two where they stopped the rush. They got to get another pass rusher because Matthew Stafford had way too much time and so did Patrick Mahomes the week before, and you got to get some secondary help. And I don't know if they keep Jesse Bates. He sucked during the regular season, but he played really well in the playoffs. But I know they want to keep Bates, but you got to get you another cornerback. You got to get you another pass rusher to rotate with Hubbard and Hendrickson, and you got to get you at least two players. A possible either one in free agency and one in the draft studs or two draft studs, but that's where you are because you have everything up. That's where you need to be.
Hey, my latest mock draft is on point for the Bengals. I'm taking Trevor Penning, offensive tackle from Northern Iowa. Big dude, athletic, about 6'6", over 300 pounds.
Boy.
He's got the size and the long arms. Obviously, the one concern will be coming out of a small school in Northern Iowa. But as far as the tape, he checks all the boxes. And then in the second round, I'm going to take Drake Jackson, defensive end from USC, the guy that can move inside on third downs as well as play on the edge as well. So that kind of hits home, which is exactly what you said for the Bengals.
Yep.
At least in the first two rounds.
Yeah, absolutely.
Good stuff. Offensive line, like you said, JQ, watching that game, man, that's a talent. That's a scary team, man. So you just got to show up a couple things, man, get that defense locked up and then get that offensive line. And, you know, we could be talking about another situation, too, where Cincinnati, they have too much moxie. They're like, yeah, we're not going away, too, man. So that was a good story for sure. If I'm a Falcons, I'm kind of like you, Rob. I mean, there's a couple things that I would probably, you know, lock up. We got to fix the offensive line and free agency, get those needs first, man, because I don't think we draft another rookie, man. So if I'm out there, I'm probably getting like a Ben Jones from Tennessee, probably get like a Lucas Patrick from the Packers or like a David Quisenberry, just kind of like shore up the offensive side. That's what I'm doing. So that way we don't have another situation where you got to depend on the rookie. So get that taken care of, you know, we don't know what's going to happen with Matt Ryan. If he's going to trade him, I don't know, but we're thinking that he's going to stay. And I know because the cap, you know, is just too much, you know, because we keep hearing certain rumors about Cleveland and, you know, you hear about, you know, the Steelers and all these other things too. But, you know, we probably think he's going to stay. If I'm going draft, I'm going pretty much – this is what I – if I'm drafting, and this is without any trades, and I know this may be high, but I'm going Jermaine Johnson at number 8. I'm going with your boy Nicholas Freire from Ohio State, going with him. I'm going to go with Christian Watson at from North Dakota State as my wide receiver. I'm going to go tight end with that third-round pick because, you know, Arthur Smith was running like that 12 personnel. I'm going to go with John Ridgeway from Arkansas, the defensive tackle, pulling out Martin and Robin here. Fifth round, Rashad White from Arizona State. And get a safety and like another linebacker, kind of fill it out. That's what I'm looking at, something like that too. So I'm kind of building a couple things in the draft, but I want to shore up my offensive line of free agency. So, you know, obviously that's kind of how I would do that. That's kind of a perfect draft for me, man. So that's what I would do, honestly.
I tell you all the time, and I know I'm biased because I live here in Atlanta, but as a black dude that's going to make money and cost of living, if you talk about New York and Miami and L.A., I've never understood why Atlanta and Houston for sure and Dallas doesn't enter that conversation of where somewhere I would want to go live and establish a family and have all the amenities around me plus a high quality of life. And if I can convince 2 or 3 other dudes to go with us, we can win. Like, it's not like it's you know, they just went to the Super Bowl like 4 years ago. Like, I've never understood how Atlanta fails to attract more top-tier agents. People love to go to New Orleans. New Orleans is a fantastic city as well. I just don't understand how, you know, like, Cincinnati sucks. Like, I get it. You got to be, like, in a certain realm of life, either young or just be established with your family to go live in Cincinnati if you don't want to be about the nightlife and all the other, you know, things that go on. But if you're talking about those kind of things, I've never understood why Atlanta, basketball or football-wise, or baseball-wise either, are unable to attract more free agency. It's wild.
I don't understand it from baseball. I slightly understand it from a football perspective, and this is not to take a knock at the Falcons. But, JQ, you and I, and all of us have been in that stadium in Atlanta, right? They just don't have the atmosphere, the presence, to really attract fans that want to play for the team, right?
Well,
I understand what you're saying about
the station. They could change it, though. If they started winning, you know Atlanta would get behind them.
But you know, the Atlanta fans are so fickle. As soon as they go on the 3-game losing streak, man, there's only 15,000 people in that stadium.
That's true.
You know, the Saints, you know, they finished 9-8 this season. The Saints went on a streak this year where they lost 5 straight games, had Ian Book at quarterback. That Monday night game was pitiful. Man, I sat there in that stand, and it still was 70,000 strong in there. And, I mean, that was pitiful to watch that game. That was probably one of the most, one of the worst Monday night games in NFL history. The Saints had
a
team out
of
on COVID, you hear the fucking quarterback. You know, you get that Atlanta going that 3-game losing streak, and they out.
But Atlanta's, we're not an exciting team. I will tell you this, once we had Mike Vick, every Mike, it was amazing. So that's, you have
You're
to
right.
have that
person
to draw.
As soon as Mike
Vick
on that 3-game losing streak.
No.
I wasn't that bad one.
Stop
they
that
still,
one. Stop
they
that.
Still win.
Stop that.
Nah,
we
going to do it
Ryan.
That's a big part of it. I agree.
Like,
so when Vick was here, it was still jumping. But people are done with Matt Ryan. They're done with Matt Ryan. They need something to energize the fan base.
I know that was a good shot there, but I'm saying that we have to have something to kind of draw too, because we're like, you know, we're not a very exciting
team.
They
got a
beautiful
stadium, man.
Yeah.
Gorgeous.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, you guys recognize the music. That's the end of our live portion of the show. We're going to be wrapping up here really shortly. Thank you all for tuning in to another great edition with Talking Sports with the 12th Man as we capture a little NBA and a little NFL to close out the show on tonight. Thank you all for tuning in. Stay tuned for next week. We'll talk with the fellas and see if we might be making adjustments for next week. But we're going to be back at you whatever night of the week is going to be. It's going to be 11 o'clock Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. on the Mountain Time Zone, 8 p.m. for our friends on the West Coast in Fresno. Stand up. It's going to be 8 p.m. for you all. Good night, people.
Come on, Fred. Don't stand up. You better call in. You got to get on Ralph talking about it, y'all. I appreciate y'all for tuning in to us tonight. We'll holler at y'all next week.
To Jackson, Mississippi of the West Coast.
Jackson, hey.
Oh, my God.
The Detroit of the West Coast.
Great show, fellas. Like I said, we're going to keep that hard stop. JK, we appreciate you jumping in like last minute too, man. So again, fellas, appreciate you guys. Rob, get some rest, man. I know you're in the A, man. So or you'll be in the A at some point.
No,
right?
Tomorrow.
You're in an hour. You're to tomorrow. Okay, I got you. Good deal, bro. Well, be safe, man. Enjoy your meetings, and we'll kick it off whenever we have some time, man. So it's all good.
All right, good
get some rest, y'all.
Love y'all.